Today on Real Radio.
There are so many today that would somehow justify, well, the reason why my son or my daughter steals is because, and they fill in the blank. And what do they do when they fill in the blank? They offer some excuse. They are a thief because, and they somehow drum up an explanation that makes everyone feel better. I want you to know tonight, God doesn't swallow that stuff.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack Hibbs continues in his topical series on the Ten Commandments, and it's been a great series. I hope you've been able to join us. The series is based basically upon two scripture passages, one from the Old Testament, Exodus chapter 20, and one from the New, Matthew chapter 5. Now, verse 15 of Exodus chapter 20 is really quite specific and very clear. You shall not steal. Pretty simple, isn't it? Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Matthew 5, Exodus chapter 20. We are now at our eighth commandment, commandment 8, in our series on the Ten Commandments. And we come to the eighth commandment, Matthew chapter 5, verse 17. If there's any doubt in your mind, Jesus said, "Do not think that I've come to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For assuredly I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle by no means will pass from the law till all is fulfilled." The entire Old Testament, Jesus said, down to the very comma and to the hyphen, will be fulfilled. When we consider right now, and as we look to the eighth commandment, turn now to Exodus chapter 20, verse 15. Very powerful commandment. Not that the other ones were not, but this one, I think, will rattle your heart. The eighth commandment, Exodus 20, verse 15. It's that horizontal commandment. That is, that it predominantly deals with us dealing with men and our lives, mankind and our lives. Exodus 20, 15 says, "You shall not steal." Thou shalt not steal. Webster's Dictionary defines to steal or stealing like this: to take or to carry away the private goods of another, the taking with an intent to take willfully that which belongs to another, and that without permission. That kind of goes without saying, doesn't it? The word here, steal, in the Bible, and thou shalt not steal, Exodus 20, 15, the word in the Hebrew means this: to thieve. It means to deceive another person by the carrying away or the taking away by stealth of that which is the physical property of another. The taking away of an object, be it an animal, a person, without an agreement or consent of the other. It's interesting to note that while the eighth commandment specifically prohibits stealing, the previous commandments, interesting enough, check this out, all of them are based on necessarily, listen, not stealing. For example, not stealing. We are not to steal the Lord's glory. We've learned that. We are not to steal his honor. We are not to be stealing the authority from our parents. We are not to be stealing the life of someone. This would be murder. We're not to be stealing from someone's marriage, be it their spouse. We're not to be stealing from someone's, in the sense of coveting what they have, interestingly enough. And now as we come to this stealing tonight, I think you might be quite surprised about how much it's permeated our culture and how much it's in our mind and how little we detect what stealing is. Our worldly system, by the way, of right and wrong is in a constant state of decay. I think we all know that. We see our culture declining. Listen, doesn't take an Einstein to figure out that we spend more money on our culture in a government way or in a social way. Listen carefully to this. We spend more money than ever on our culture in social light, social programs, in policing our culture, spending more and more to try to keep our culture sane, and yet evil seems to be getting worse. Doesn't seem to be, it is. And what's interesting about that is all the data shows that our culture is decaying, and man's laws change constantly, usually for the worse, regarding evil, regarding danger, regarding crime. You would think that laws would get better, but they don't seem to get better. They seem to be laws that are passed to protect the criminal more than anybody else. I saw in the news tonight, the man that was scheduled this evening to be put to death by lethal injection for his killing of a police officer. And it's been drummed up that, we need to stop this. This is wrong. And people are picketing and protesting. And I literally heard ABC News tonight, their legal analyst, say that about an hour before the execution was to take place, the man was given an injection to make him so out of it that he wouldn't know that within an hour he would be receiving a lethal injection that would end his life. In other words, they would dope him up so much that he wouldn't feel the death shot that would kill the guy regarding capital punishment. This is going on right now in Georgia, and it was stayed by the court. And I heard their legal analyst say something incredibly stupid. I can't believe the guy gets paid the amount of money to say what he said tonight. He said, and I'm sure you can YouTube it or archive it on ABC News. He said, I can't imagine the trauma that this man is going through, having received an injection that would have dulled him to the lethal injection. That was over an hour ago, so he must be waking up now to realize that it still hasn't happened yet. I can't imagine a worse bit of torture than that. He murdered a police officer. Our culture is more concerned about what the bad guy feels than what the innocent feels. Why? How does that happen? We have lost our way, ladies and gentlemen, church family. And we need to get back to what God says. And in this commandment about thou shalt not steal, there are so many today that would somehow justify, well, the reason why my son or my daughter steals is because, and they fill in the blank. And what do they do when they fill in the blank? They offer some excuse. They are a thief because, and they somehow drum up an explanation that makes everyone feel better. I want you to know tonight, God doesn't swallow that stuff. That doesn't work with God. You can think anything you want to think. It doesn't change the holy heart of God. Stealing is a sin. The Bible says in Isaiah 55, verse 8, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. God is altogether holy, and God is not a human. And when it comes to stealing, there's no difference to God regarding the severity of being a thief. Because human nature has a hard time of taking a good look at itself, it tends to qualify our sinful conduct in levels. And I got a little bit of information. I won't go too much into it, but we have levels now. We have things like this. We have petty theft, petty crimes, misdemeanor theft. We have felony theft. We have grand larceny. We have all these different things, and it carries with them different punishments. And I want you to know tonight, that's the way we look at things. We grade on a curve. God doesn't grade on a curve. That's why we need Jesus so bad. You say, well, I just told a little white lie, or I only stole this thing. God doesn't see it that way. The Ten Commandments are God's law to show us our need for Jesus. And it's powerful and it's true. And so by this law, it's very interesting. Those of you who have any social studies classes or maybe even a debate class, I find this extremely interesting. Or hey, for that matter, a law class. This very law, the Eighth Commandment, is a law given by God to protect, by God's decree, property rights of an individual. The right of property ownership is here in the Eighth Commandment. The right of self-preservation is here in the Eighth Commandment. And listen, identity. Isn't that interesting? You say, you just made that up, huh? Because we live in the 21st century and identity theft's a big deal. It's interesting because the word thou shalt not steal in the Hebrew predominantly, listen, are you guys listening? Yes. It predominantly means you shall not steal people. That's the original meaning of the word. We know it today as kidnapping. You shall not take someone, capture them, and exploit them to your use. The Bible says any man, any person who kidnaps, in fact, it not only says it in the Old Testament, of course, but this law implies that if you steal someone's life, you're to be put to death. Interesting. What is God saying? What is he meaning by all this? Let's take a look at it tonight as we look at the eighth commandment, thou shalt not steal. First thing is this. Mark it down. Point one, we steal from others when? And we're going to be making this comment. Write it down. We steal from others when, number one, when we seek our own honor at another's expense. Will you write that down? This is very, very personal. It's very, very timely. We steal from others. We're going to look at, by the way, at others. We're going to look at ourselves. And we're going to look at God. Right now, number one, we steal from others when, A, when we seek our own honor at another's expense. What do we mean by that? That when we begin to be violating this verse, this law, this commandment, it's born first in the human heart. And when we seek to honor ourselves at the expense of another, thou shalt not steal, it implies that there are at least two people in the mix. The person that's gonna steal and the person that's gonna be a victim. And when a person, listen, this is weird, it's almost a psychosis. If I steal your glasses, and I'm not caring how much you paid for them, I'm not caring about how much you need them. I take them, and what would I do? Church, listen, what would I do if I stole his glasses? Or his jacket, or his car, fill in the blank. You would either put the glasses on, or you'd put the jacket on, or you would say, sell it, eBay. Whatever it is, you are taking from another person to honor yourself in your own mind. And here's the amazing thing. A lot of people who steal, if they don't sell it, or if they are en route to selling it, they'll wear it or drive it, and they'll get caught. What are you thinking when you steal something? Oh, no one will ever know. No one will ever think. No one will ever see. God sees. Thou shalt not steal is a direct violation of property ownership, and God established it. Listen, communism has never worked. Did you know, first of all, it's atheistic? Communism is pure evil. Communism is there is no God, and a few leaders get to be God. Joseph Stalin, Karl Marx, Mao Zedong, Mussolini, right? Hitler. They get to be God, and everybody else gets to work for them. Communism. The opposite of communism is believing in God. Free. Freedom. And that comes from God. But when we seek our own honor at another's expense, we would think in our minds, I'm going to take what's theirs and I'm going to assimilate it to myself. And the Bible says that's violating the eighth commandment of God. The next thing is this, that we manipulate someone for our own gain. We would be manipulating someone for our own gain. Now listen, this is tremendous. The Bible tells us in Leviticus 25, 17, do not take advantage of each other, but fear God. I am the Lord your God. Leave that up on the screen for a second. People, look how powerful this is. Wouldn't it be amazing if this was on the front cover of every business economic book in college today? Can you imagine? What's wrong with it? Oh, we can't have that on there. Of course we can't. That would make a student feel bad who's thinking that he's going to go out and eat people up. Do not take advantage of each other, but fear your God. I am the Lord your God. Listen, why is that important? Because when we really, really understand that we as a people today need to be very careful about the eighth commandment, thou shalt not steal, keep this in mind. It can be so subtle as something that looks like this: overcharging someone for a job, marking up the price, taking advantage of someone. When somebody says, well, how much is this? And you tell them it's a different price to pad that price. Listen, God is not saying you shouldn't make a profit in business. The Bible teaches that as well. But to take advantage of someone, the Bible says that's stealing. And you and I know down deep inside when we're taking advantage of someone, when we should have said, or how about this? You want to cause somebody to have an absolute conniption, go cuckoo crazy? Do what I did a couple months ago. I went to Lowe's and I bought some sprinkler equipment and I went out to the car and I realized that in my basket, they didn't charge me for a sprinkler head. They charged me for like five of them, but I had six of them. One of them, and then go back, grab the sprinkler head with your receipt and go back and say, you know what, you forgot to charge me this. And this is what, yeah. Are you kidding me? Wow, I can't believe you did that for one thing. And oh man, and I go, it's okay, just charge me. Yeah, but you know what, you bought the other stuff. And I go, yeah, okay, wait. It's a new person. I want to buy just one of these. Oh, okay. And it worked. Now, could I have driven away with the sixth sprinkler head? Yes. You know who would have been driving right alongside me the whole way home? The Holy Spirit. Hey, Holy Spirit, what are you doing? He would have been convicting me. $1.29 is not worth the hassle. And you said, Jack, you're kidding, right? No, listen, that's sin. God says it's stealing. Thou shalt not steal. Oh, surely you mean big stuff, like grand, you know, like a car? No, listen. The night only gets worse if that's the way that you think. What about cheating on a test or an exam? That's stealing. That's stealing. What about moving a decimal point over? That could send you to prison if you cheat your tax forms. Think of that. Pretty amazing. The next thing is this. We steal from others when we imagine that someone, or something I should say, is owed to us. This is a big one today among so many. When we imagine that something is owed to us. Now look, it is one thing. It is one thing. Okay, I'm an employer. In the state of California, I'm an employer. I hire people. They happen to work at a church, but let me tell you, the state of California doesn't care if this is a church or not. It's a company. And I'm an employer. As an employer, if I see an employee doing a great job, a bang-up job, and I go to them and I say, you know what I want you to do? I want you to take a couple days. In fact, here at this church, we have dot days. You're awarded dots. Remember, it worked so good when you and I were kids with a little happy face. You're given so many dots a year, and you can spend your dots and do your dots. You can take a dot day. Or you can earn a merit dot. You've done such a great job. Here's three merit dots. And you can use those all together. You can use them any way you want. You can cut them in half and you split up your day. What do you want them? Do whatever you want them. It has to be given. If an employee says, you know what? I'm going to go online. I'm going to get some dots. I'm going to download those dots, print them out on the printer. I'm going to copy those kind of dots. And I'm going to give myself some dots. I deserve some dots. You could get fired for that. You're stealing. God says, thou shalt not steal. It's one thing when someone gives you something, that's fine, and you're supposed to say thank you. But when you look at it all and say, my, haven't I done such a great job? I'm going to give myself some dots. I'm going to give myself some. It doesn't work that way. See, many, many in our culture today have this thing about, I'm going to reward myself. I've done a good job. I'm going to take the next week off. You may be off indefinitely if your boss knows this. When we begin to imagine something is owed to us. In Luke chapter 20, verse 24, Jesus says, show me a denarius. Remember this? Whose image or inscription does it have on it? And they answered and they said to him, Caesar's. And Jesus said to them, render therefore to Caesar the things that are Caesar's and to God the things that are God's. You know what's so awesome about that verse? Oh, this is going to make some people upset. But here's the truth. Jesus is saying, whatever Caesar demands, give it to him. Whatever God demands, give it to him. What does God demand? Your heart. What does Caesar demand? Let me rephrase. What does God demand? Your heart. What does the government demand? Everything, right? Give it to them. You say, Pastor, now I'm a Christian pastor, and I mean, I'm not talking about me, I'm talking about you. You're saying to me, you're a Christian, but God has told you not to pay your income tax. Number one, God didn't tell you that because God will never violate his own word. You say, I can't pay my income tax because they use it to fund abortions. I understand that, and we all grieve with you. But here's the deal. You pay the government the taxes that are owed to the government. That's why you should vote for lower taxes. But once that cat's out of the bag, when the government has that opportunity to charge, to extract from you taxes, you got to pay, and you pay. You say, I'm not going to be an accomplice to sin like that. You're not an accomplice to sin. If you pay taxes and they take that money and fund abortions, you're not responsible for that. The legislators of our nation will stand before God on the day of judgment. Nancy Pelosi, Barbara Boxer, and Dianne Feinstein will stand before God for taking your money and voting for the destruction of children. Do you understand that? Can you imagine being a judge? I know we have judges that attend this church, and they love Jesus, and I pray for them. But man, I got to tell you something. I shudder over the decisions that they have to make. I mean, they make unbelievably difficult decisions. Can you imagine being a bad judge, thinking that you're God? And that you're just doing this, you're just calling this shot and doing this thing with no fear, knowing that in the end, you will be judged by the judge of the universe with a stricter judgment. You think about that.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio. In a study that takes a look at number 8 of the 10 commandments, you shall not steal. It really is a concise and clear commandment that was given by the supreme lawgiver, God himself, to his people a long time ago. You shall not steal. It's part of Pastor Jack's topical series on the Ten Commandments, as found in Exodus chapter 20. So please be sure to join us again as we continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, you might be thinking about going through this topical series by Pastor Jack once again, or maybe two or three times again. Or maybe you just missed a few parts here and there. Well, here at Real Radio, we offer this series on the Ten Commandments on an MP4 DVD for the price of just $25. But for the month of May, this MP4 DVD is yours for a gift of any amount to the ongoing broadcast outreach of Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. Now, of course, an MP4 DVD means that you can view the series on your computer or right there on your smartphone. So again, that's Pastor Jack's entire 13-part series on the Ten Commandments for your gift of any amount to the outreach of Real Radio. How do you get yours? Well, visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org, and you'll see right where to point and click. realradioactive.org. If you'd like to call, the number is 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David J., and Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.